Your new album, Automato. When did you start working on this record, and how do you think it differed when you recorded it from previous By Divine Right records?
I started working on it like a long time ago. I mean, because I write songs all the time, so I could feel it in the air, like in 2016, and we were on a real roll. The band was on a real roll, but then, this should happen to in everyone's lives, and Jordy moved to St. John's, and Lish moved to Vancouver. We were playing so much and flying around enough that we thought that we'll be able to survive all that. But then, life got in the way, and then a couple of missed opportunities. Now it doesn't seem like that long because the pandemic took so long away from us, right? But at the time, like in 2017, to me, it was fully tragic that like 9 months had gone by and that we'd gotten together to jam and it hadn't gone like perfectly. So I was just like, that's it. My life is over. We played a show in 2017, only one show at a festival, and we played like about half of the record. And I was like, I'm canceling our show if we don't play all new songs. You know, I was just completely against playing anything, except that new tunes, or I would be like, we're not playing the show. But we didn't finish it till the mixing. I didn't finish mixing it. You know how the pandemic slowed everything up? I think I had a mastering date for April 2020. And I probably didn't master it till summer 2021 because wait a minute. What year is it?
It's 2023 now.
Anyways. It took it was an extra year. It took me an extra year to really be able to, I'm kind of spoiled because I have my own studio, and that's a real bonus as well as it means that if I want to take my time with something, I can, So some of the mixing took probably longer but I experimented a lot. So in the mixing, because, the world's crumbling around you and I'm stuck in here, with all my gear. It's like, well, what else am I going to do? I mean, I run in, give my kids snacks, and, because at the same time, in isolation, you figure that everything's over. And even without a pandemic, you figure, who would be interested in this? Really great to release it and have people like it, I've been following the same echo my whole life, so I don't know that it differs that much from other By Divine Right records, except of where I'm at now, In a way, I'm more in control of what I'm doing, so it's closer to what I'm think it's gonna be. Even so, at some point you just kind of gotta let it go and be like, well, I'm kind of a painter, so this is what I painted. I hope you like it, sometimes it's pretty good, sometimes I feel pretty good about it. I really do feel good about it, but in a very personal way, I am also an amateur art historian, so I could rip it apart if I really wanted to.
So I have a curiosity. I'm just wondering, with the lineup that you have now, because there's been a lot of changes over the years, and this seems to be the most stable lineup that I've seen from By Divine Right. How many years has the current lineup been together at this point?
It's a good question. 12 years? 12 years for sure. End of 2010, we played a show together, and it was instantly really fun. And I'd had lots of cool bands. It's funny to think that we're the most stable lineup because we really are very unstable. But what isn't unstable? And really, so what is stability other than holding it together when it's fallen apart? So a lot of other times in my life, I'd be like, this is f***ed. And I'd just start jamming with other people, or just be like, this isn't working for me anymore, and just doing my own thing. But I don't know, because things were going so good, 2013, 14, 15, 16, things had been flowing so well. And I know that's, for me now, it seems really a long time ago, but when you get older, everything seems. So I wanted to hang on to that vibe that we had. I wanted to hang on to that sort of the magic that it felt like when we played live. And so although I could have made this record on my own, or I could have made it with a different band, or when it seemed like everything fell apart and Jordy was out east and Lish was out west, it was kicked around to make a superstar record, right? The idea. And I wouldn't want to say that, in any sort of hurtful way to Lish and Jordy, but they kind of know it too, right? Some people were like, yeah, man, it's like the Marvel Universe, just make this record and this other record instead. And seriously, that an analogy or whatever was used by a very nice person. But I just knew there'd be something worth saving and hanging on to if we all stuck together. And a lot of the songs I'd written from jams we'd had and stuff like that, or about adventures we'd had together, times we'd had together. So anyway, so that's a really long answer as to like, why is this band stable? It's like, I don't know how stable it is, but I really wanted to reap the rewards of a long-term relationship, however that works. And you know, it's, we were all kind of falling apart by the time we tracked it. We'd tried a couple of times, right? Not falling apart, like none of us were like, you know, truly in trouble, in big trouble, but kind of a little bit, all of us a little bit. So just, it's ridiculously hard to keep a group of people together. If you asked us individually, do you want to make a record together? Yes. Are you available to make a record? Yes. Do you have the songs? Almost. All that kind of stuff. And yet still it took forever to come together and actually make it work. And, you know, it's like a Metallica documentary.
You know, on the lineup, I'm just wondering with Jordy and Alicia, like, what do they bring to the group specifically compared to some of your previous touring members or recording members of the band? Like, what do they contribute to the family of By Divine Right?
That's a sweet question. You know, I think that I've been reflecting recently on a lot of stuff. That family vibe has always really been there at By Divine Right's best moments. It's always been very like that, for all the pluses and minuses of working with family. But the thing about Lish and Jordy, it's like a mysterious element that comes down to maybe chemistry, that none of us really knew what was going to happen. That chemistry was evident as soon as we played together, because Lish had never played bass through an amp. She was like a guitar shredder, and she had been one of my son's nannies and was dating a friend of mine. And so when it came up that we needed a bass player for an emergency gig, like when I didn't have a stable lineup, and I reached out to my friend, he was like, did you know Lish is a shredder? And I was like, you mean Lish, our babysitter? So anyway, so like all that stuff, and Jordy had come from another band. He was a friend from another band that we knew. Oh, I'd done that many times, but so then the chemistry thing was a thing that just like happened. You know, all of a sudden we're like, hey, this is like extra cozy in a certain way, and kind of like, and then as time flies by, that turns into a kind of quiet confidence, you know, and you know, we're kind of a humble vibes, but we have this come in with sort of this humble fuzzy vibe, and then it has this power to it, you know, that makes me really believe in it. Like sometimes I, you know, and I think, you know, what the word is, like rock and roll or whatever, is kind of a dumb thing to say these days, but it's whatever music form we're playing, I just think we're really good at it, you know?
And there's that chemistry you're talking about. It's, you can feel it on this record. You can feel the band playing together.
Yeah, this is probably the only BDR record where everything is played by everybody. Jordy's playing all the drums, Lish's playing all the bass, I'm playing all the guitar. We're all singing.
And then there was that one couple years back, the one where you did the covers of Depeche Mode. Was that also live?
That was live in our rehearsal space at the time.
Oh, cool.
And that was the three of us. And so like when we did that, that was sort of like, at that point we were touring, like I was saying, and we'd done a lot of shows and a lot of cool shows, and kind of surprising to us how good it got, and to a lot of people who thought they maybe had seen By Divine Right do its thing. Out of that came that Depeche Mode record where we're like, we can do anything. I was like, this Depeche Mode record would really, the songs would seem to deconstruct into the kind of thing that By Divine Right does, with like the, you know, instead of just, it's not all chords, right, all the time. It's like the guitar's doing a thing and the bass is doing another thing. And not all the time, but often it's deconstructed. And I knew that the Depeche Mode record would deconstruct, and then that we could just pull it out, like whip it out, just whip it off. We did it very fast. And so that's why when the following year we weren't able to record on what I thought would be this other record, it was really a bummer.
I wanted to ask about the title Automato. Maybe you could tell us how you came up with that. And I know you said originally it was something else you were thinking. Maybe you could tell us about how they kind of changed?
Yeah, I love the name Automato. It's you know how when bands have like a, or there'd be a record that's just like a sounds instead of words, or they're kind of almost words, but they're kind of more sounds. And I didn't know it was a palindrome. Automato works backwards as well. I guess all of a sudden I'm seeing like a graphic. Anyways, you know, aren't the best things sometimes when you're just innocently into something, you know? And so I just felt like we were tapped into something really cool, and I wanted to make the thing that was us, the sound of us. So that was where onomatopoeia came from, that word where it just means that, you know, that what that word means, right? Like whatever. Yeah. That the word sounds like the word, like wham or like fart. So onomatopoeia was the name of the original record. And then as it kind of didn't work out to be quite that way, and I was trying to spell onomatopoeia, and it was like I had all sorts of different ways of spelling it, and like seeing what the graphic looked like. Automatopoeia, onomatopoeia, you know, like, et cetera. It's got one of those weird AEs too in the spelling of the word. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that letter is. You guys know what that letter's called?
The AE thing?
Like the AE thing, yeah. So
I don't know. Adam, do you know?
I know what you're referring to. I can't think of the title of it. But yeah, it's interesting. A letter that's an uncommon letter, a combination that becomes something different.
Maybe it's a phonetic symbol for like how to pronounce it. As opposed to Spanish, which has letters that the English language doesn't have, right? Like ñe and ella and... Anyways, so yeah, somehow in there, I just probably called a folder Automato and was like, that's pretty funny. And it's kind of kraut rock-y, so it's kind of auto. I'm Chilean, right? So, like, the Chileans have a lot of Don Otto jokes, like jokes about a character named Don Otto, who Mr. Otto, who is sort of like, you know, the butt of many a joke. He's like a well-meaning and maybe spaced-out German guy, Otto. So then there's that element that's where, like, Automato.
Oh, that's interesting.
There's lots of layers.
You're listening to Revolution Rock here on CJAM 99.1 FM in the Windsor, Detroit area. I'm your host, Dave, joined with Adam. We're also syndicating across several different stations here in Canada. And it's our second theme month show, and we're doing one here celebrating a beloved Canadian band and musician, By Divine Right, which is fronted by Jose Contreras, a really great songwriter, part of the Toronto indie scene, and he has been for some time.
And just an all-around really sweet, great guy who we had a chance to talk to. As you heard, we did do part one of an interview. We're going to be airing the second part of the interview coming up in the second hour of the program. But we also played some songs from By Divine Right as well. So we're going to call back some of those tracks, including what we just finished off with, which was Supernatural. You can find that off of 2001's Good Morning Beautiful.
Yes, and prior to that, we heard City City, which comes from Sweet Confusion.
It was an album from 2004 and kind of came off this really great high that the band was on around that period of time, because they really got some notoriety around 99 with that aforementioned tour with the Tragically Hip. And I think this was about the time where people were really recognizing what a linchpin of the Canadian alternative and indie music scene that they were.
Yeah, and as we hear different By Divine Right songs, I know that there's different members involved sometimes, but the music is still pretty diverse, and Jose's songwriting has had, a lot of people have written about it. In a recent write-up for Fortune Stella Records, which is the label that put out his recent album with By Divine Right, Automato, they said his songwriting is psych-infused art pop. And that was the way they described it. And in the early days, we mentioned earlier the different members of the band. But they were also one of Canada's first indie rock collectives, kind of like a I guess you could call it a supergroup before it was a term. I don't know.
Well, I wouldn't even call it a supergroup because I think the majority of people that were part of it, but they wouldn't get that sort of notoriety or a recognition until after after they expanded into other pastures. So you mentioned Leslie Feist. There was Brendan Canning. And there was a few others as well that are noteworthy.
Members of the Meligrove band and then also Brian Borscht,
mm-hmm.
Who played in Holy F. And another band as well. I can't think of the other band. But anyways, Jose is just a great songwriter, and he loves writing songs, and he keeps doing it, and it keeps coming out great. And we heard part of an interview we did with Jose. We're going to hear another one momentarily. And then we started off with, what did we hear before the interview?
Well, we heard two songs, yeah. Actually. We heard Come for a Ride, and that was taken off of 1999's Bless This Mess. As mentioned, supporting that record, they toured with Tragically Hip. That song and that album really propelled them into the public eye. I think in a way that the band wasn't quite prepared for and could not anticipate. But you know what? Even though success, even quasi-success, can get to some people's heads, again, as you can hear from that interview, Jose's been such a humble, very down-to-earth guy. It's really great to hear after so many years in the scene to see him just be so level-headed and, yeah, just be such a good, incredible person. Before that, also, we heard another song taken from 1995's self-titled debut record. We heard the song Out of It. And coming up next, as mentioned, we're going to hear the second part of this interview. Jose talks a little bit more about his songwriting, talks a little bit more about the album Motto. In addition to that, though, we're going to be playing a pair of songs right before that interview. We should mention what those are going to be. One of them is also taken from 99's Bless This Mess called Goodbye Paralyzer.
Yes, and we should also mention the interview will be posted in full, uncensored, and also a little bit of an extended version will be put online probably next week at some point. So check that out at revrock.blogspot.com. There's a few additional things he talks about that aren't in this interview. And more swear words.
Plenty of swear words for all you kids who like the blue language. You're going to want to tune into that. Also, we should mention, in addition to that track from Bless This Mess, we're going to be hearing Highway Alien Paranoia from 1997's All Hail Discordia. And then we're going to get into that second part of the exclusive interview with Jose Contreras. A reminder to check him out at Fog Lounge tonight, along with By Divine Right. With that said, we're going to get to the music right after this brief message reminding you what station you're tuned into.